It's a great privilege, it's a great pleasure to have Jules with us this morning. It's such a great thing to be God's church, such a great thing to be part of what God is doing here in North London. And the fact that we're not an isolated community thinking that we've got it right and that no one else has. It's wonderful that we can, in humility, work together with other congregations. And for many, many years, that we've worked together with Chalk Farm, and it's been a great pleasure to have Jules' friendship and input and fellowship over those time. Would you put your hands together, please, for Jules?
It's on. Good morning again. Yes, still before 12 o'clock. That's great. Wonderful. It's so wonderful just to be here. Since the first second I entered this place, I could feel the presence of God. And we went to the pre-service prayer time. Even the smell of the room was so good. It smelled the presence of the Holy Ghost. And coming in here, bless you, my sister, and David, for blessing us and the band with great time of worship, great time of fellowshipping in music. I loved it. And from the first word of your songs and the list of your songs, I could see that the Spirit of God is bringing everything together. You did not see my notes. You didn't know what I was going to talk about, but your first song just spoke in conclusion of what I'm going to talk about. So today, it is impressed upon me to share with you an experience of my heart from the Word of God. How many people want to hear the Word of God here? When I stand before the cross of my salvation, the cross of Jesus, I feel sorrow and love mingling together, mingling down. Universally, in an emotionally charged moment of joy, we express our sentiment with laughter. Hey, with singing. Bambulela. Praise God. And sometimes, when we've gone a little over, we express it with dancing. Amen? Praise God. When is the last time you danced? And we can also break a tear or two crying. By the same token, when people, especially young children, are hurting, whether mentally, emotionally, or physically, they can cry or sob. But when you inflict severe corporal pain to somebody, a child in particular, and on the contrary, he or she cries not, you may have probably helped create a dangerous person, a volcanic, angry child. Tears are arguably good. It is good to cry. When we praise God, we cry. It helps to take out the pain inside you. Hold not back your tears when you are in pain, doctors will say. It is an express outlet. Cry it out, you may find a little relief. Suppressed tears can become dangerous and poisonous and render a person bitter. I suppressed a lot of tears until I met the gentle Savior. And growing up in the native tradition of my fathers, men don't cry. And many people here, many men will witness that with me. But when I met the Lord Jesus, the gentle Savior, I quickly discovered that I suppressed a lot of tears. John 20, many books of the Bible illustrate this. The first one I will use is John chapter 20, and they will probably be coming on the screen. Verse 11 says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for. And again, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly after his denial of Jesus. John 11 tells us Jesus himself wept. He wept at the death of Lazarus. Verse 1 says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And we fast forward to verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see Jesus. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. See how he loved him. Luke 19. Hello, brother Luke. Chapter 41. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Have you ever wept for lost souls? Have you? When was the last time you wept over your sins? Now let's remind ourselves, Jesus said, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. On his way to Calvary, Luke chapter 23, verse 28, but Jesus turning to them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And again in Genesis chapter 27, verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. 2 Kings chapter 20, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Esther chapter 8, verse 3. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman, the Agagite, and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. Countless examples of people crying and in tears. Job, chapter 16, verse 20. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Psalm 6. I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. David says this in Psalm 42, verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? And in chapter 56, verse 8, he says again, you number my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Tears are not wasted. David is telling us they are kept in the Lord's bottle. They are in his book. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Isaiah the prophet gives us a prophetic promise in chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Amen. Mark 9. Immediately the father of the demon-possessed child who came to Jesus for his son's healing cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do you believe but have an unbelief underneath? Because sometimes we build our faith upon a foundation of unbelief, not knowing. Luke chapter 7, verse 38. And a woman who had lived a sinful life stood at his feet, the feet of Jesus, behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Ladies, are you willing to sacrifice your hair for the Lord Jesus Christ? And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Verse 44, then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Verse 31 continues, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. The first time I watched the movie Passion of Christ, the Calvary and death of Jesus on a cross, many viewers, including myself in the hall, were in tears. And I've witnessed again and again convicted sinners break down in tears, crying and sobbing as they respond to the message of salvation from the gospel. They kneel down before the altar and give their lives to Christ, inviting him into their hearts. Blessed, Jesus says, are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God forgives them all their sins, and they're born again into the kingdom of heaven. He fills them with unspeakable peace and joy that no language of man under the sun can express. This might have been your experience. They delve into reading the Word of God, the Bible. My dear mom was neither literate nor educated. The only book she could read was the Bible. Don't ask me how. It's still a puzzle to our whole family. And that is the book she and my father taught me to read. Now let me ask you, my educated fellow Christians, to whom God has given all the facilities, do you read the Bible, the Word of God, this precious book that is called the Old and the New and the Ever New Book, the Bible, on a regular daily basis? If the answer is no, I pray that God will make you open your eyes to see the goodness of God, like those who do in the Word of the Almighty Creator God. As a young man, which I still am, though my children think otherwise, maybe you also, I enjoyed reading the Bible. But again and again, I would stumble to passages that would prick my heart and made me feel I was living a double life. Quite often, the further I read, the more I would feel I'm a hypocrite. At the age of 22, I was baptized in China, Hong Kong. But my secret past mischief was haunting me, and the bitterness and resentment of my youth relentlessly chased after me. Now here I was, truly loving Jesus, no doubt about it, passionately sharing the gospel of Jesus, but wrestling, struggling to forgive myself and those who have hurt my feeling and wounded my heart back in my far distant native land years ago. And when one day I reached the end of my depth, at least so I thought, I stumbled onto and read Genesis 41. that I'm going to share with you today. Verse 50 reads, "Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On." What a great choice of a bride, A daughter of the priest. Verse 51, "Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh." Let's say Manasseh. "And said, 'It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household.' The second son he named Ephraim." Let's say Ephraim. "And said, 'It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering.'" Now, trouble and suffering are two different words. And many people have been living in unspoken trouble. You know it. The kind of troubles you don't share with nobody. And perhaps only before God. Some people have been living in unspoken suffering for a long time. Many have had a negative past, like myself, and they need inner healing. Have you become so familiar with trouble and suffering of the past that you've become immune to the healing hand of God? God is willing to bring you out of this familiar position into unfamiliar position. Unfamiliar position is a new ground, a new place where you discover God in a new way. Many people have cracks in their spiritual lives and have become familiar to be in that same position, stuck in the past. Like a scratched vinyl in the days of vinyl, and today we have CDs, that can't get over. It goes, Father Paul, Father Paul, Father Paul, just can't get over. You have to lift the lever, and you remember that, do you? And those people are therefore unable to discover what God has in store for them. Unable to relate to God in a new way, in an unfamiliar position. We like familiarity, and sometimes God takes us to a place where we feel a little bit lost. God is speaking to his children and calling us to go high. Amen. Joseph went down the dungeon, but surmounted right up. He named his children meaningfully. In many parts of the earth, people still give their offspring meaningful names. Not just because it sounds good to the ear or it represents some celebrity somewhere. So they name them meaningfully. The name says something about the person to others. In some cases, the name tells even the week day of birth. My roommate at university was named Comlan because he was born on a Tuesday. And sometimes the name will give the circumstance or the prediction for the newborn baby. So in naming Manasseh, Joseph was saying, forget trouble. Forget trouble. Let's say it together. Forget trouble, Manasseh. Manasseh, oh my boy, oh my son, forget trouble. But what trouble? This is the background story of Joseph. Joseph, born in the old age of Jacob, his father, who lavished him because he loved him more than all his children, was in trouble with his brothers who hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. We read in Genesis chapter 37. To make matters worse for himself, the boy was a pretty good dreamer. Churches need those good dreamers who dream great things for God. Are you a sleeper sleeping in broad daylight in the service? Are you a dreamer dreaming great things for God? Dreamers make church move. They make church exciting. Note that Joseph did not himself interpret his dream, but his brothers did. Verse 8, "And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And when he had another dream, it was his father who interpreted it. Verse 10, so he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. These dreams put Joseph in trouble. Not easy to kill a dreamer, even harder to kill his dream. Because of his dreams, Joseph was stripped of his multicolored coat and was thrown into a pit and then sold out by his own brothers to traveling Egyptian merchants. Dreamers can go down, but when they go down, they come up. Amen? Dreamers, they can go down, but when they go down, they come up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I pray that you be a good dreamer. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter the time where you are, you might feel like you're going down, but you go up. Bless you, brother, for your testimony. When it seemed like you were going down, you are going to lose your job. But God came and took you to a higher place, providing answers to you. I love that. Praise God. You know, humbly, I will share a quick testimony on that. When I went to medical school, I was a scholar. And when we say scholar, people say, wow, he was a bright, intelligent guy. But I don't think it necessarily was in my case because, frankly, I used to dream exam questions. Yeah, frankly. And I became so famous among my friends, they will come before the exam and ask me, have you got anything yet? I had a reputation of knowing exam questions and before going there, so that kept me on a good scholarship program. Amen? Praise God. So bless you, brother. We thank God. A good dreamer can go down, but when he goes down, he comes right back up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dreamers go down, but when they go down, they do go up. And quite often, passing through unfamiliar ground, the land of unfamiliarity, or even the land of sustained hostility. Joseph was thrown in jail before flourishing and prospering in the Lord's blessing, almost going the opposite way of the dreams he had. And it feels like that sometimes, if not quite often, with the children of God. God will give you a vision, a prophecy, a word, but then you will find yourself soon after going the opposite way. Nothing is working. You begin to question God. Joseph was there. He faced false rape accusation from Potiphar's wife in Genesis chapter 39. Job 31 verse 1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. When then should I look upon a young woman? Joseph was handsome. I think like me. Don't you believe it? Well, my wife says I am handsome even this morning. Women, please do tell your husband they are handsome. It brings us tremendous encouragement. Please take the opportunity, women, do say it to your husband. Now let me ask my brothers, did they say it right? Well, let's fast forward to Genesis chapter 48. Verse 8. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, who are these? Verse 9. They are the sons God has given me here. In an unfamiliar territory, he was moved to another country. He left his family, his household. His past wasn't great among his own people. And yet, transported to another country, and things were not peaceful with him. He ended up in jail. And even while in jail, abandoned by his inmate friend, who found favor because of his gifting, he lingered in prison. And here he is now answering to his father, whom God has brought in a wondrous way for a wonderful family reunion. And the father asks, "Who are these?" "They are the sons God has given me here," Joseph said to his father. In a sense, Joseph was telling his father, "Dad, these are the sons God has used to remind me and make me understand my own identity." In Manasseh and Ephraim, God began a process of spiritual healing in my life. Ephraim means fruitful in the land of my suffering. Joseph suffered injustice, defamation, and imprisonment in Egypt. Verse 9, "Then Israel said, 'Bring them to me so that I may bless them.'" Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. Verse 13, "And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him." Now, Joseph knew the hand of blessing, so he placed Manasseh, the firstborn, to his grandfather's right hand. The hand of blessing, the hand of deliverance, the hand of giving. God delivered his people Israel with the right hand, separated the sea with his right hand, Exodus chapter 15 tells us. God provides and sustains with his right hand. But Israel, the grandfather, reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. Follow me carefully. And crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Now the blessing traditionally should go to the firstborn. Verse 17, "When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand." Listen to that. He takes hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, "No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." Little we know, you cannot undo the cross. It might be painful. Do you go through some painful stuff? Jesus says, "You want to follow me? Pick up the cross." The cross is painful. The cross is painful. He thought he could undo the cross. We cannot undo the cross of Jesus. You may find the best carpenter in the world. No one can undo the cross of Jesus. When God is dealing with some things in your life, he uses the cross. The cross is always painful. When God uses the cross in your life, it is always painful. Verse 18, Joseph said to him, "No, my father." But listen to what Israel, the grandfather, said. But his father refused. Let's say refused. A little louder. And said, "I know. My son, I know." Everybody there? Somewhere? He said, "I know. My son, I know. I know." Verse 19, "I know." Can you hear the voice of God saying, "I know"? When it feels painful, God is saying, "I know. My daughter, I know. My son, I know. My friend, I know. I know." I know. Hear those words. I know. Remember Jesus' agony in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. Let the cross pass from me, but the Father's will prevailed. God knows what he is doing in your life when he is pruning those unproductive junk in your life. Those negative things of the past that drain and burn you out. The strongholds of your past that drag you backward. You want to be on fire for the Lord. You want to march forward. But the negative things are holding and dragging you backward, putting you down and pressing you down. Hear him say, let me deal with it myself. I know. I know. God says, I know. He told Jesus, I know. And Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Hear his voice telling you today, I know. The pain you are going through, the Father says, I know. I know. When you think it's got to be the other way, God is saying, I know. He's doing the opposite way. He's saying, I know. Either way, you are a winner. Amen. That's what I love about Jesus Christ. Either way, we are winners. To live is Christ. To die is winner. You can never lose. We can never lose. We do not fight for the victory. We have the victory. We simply fight victoriously. Amen. Praise God. I know, my son, my daughter. I know. I know. I know. Now listen to the final blessing. Verse 20. Israel, blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. He takes the younger one, puts him ahead of the older one. When God says, I know, he knows the right order. Amen. Your plan and your order is to first forget the junk of your past. So you put Manasseh ahead of you. Are you with me? This is to forget your future. You've got to stay with me here. Hear God's voice saying, the order of your life is wrong. Put Ephraim ahead of you and Manasseh behind. Jesus always broke the tradition. Who's supposed to be ahead? The firstborn. Who's supposed to be behind? The younger one. But he's done the reverse. God knows the right order. Submit your order to God. Submit your priorities to God. Put Ephraim ahead of you and Manasseh behind. When you are fruitful in the land of your suffering, when you are fruitful in the fruit of the Spirit upon your life, the anointing of God upon your life, swimming in the blessings of God, you will automatically forget your trouble of the past. Amen. You know, I have a son, my youngest one. He has had a hard time at school. He's a hardworking boy, academically strong. And he went through UCAS and did not get anything. He was rejected everywhere. And being ambitious that he is, I could see my son was suffering. And when we thought all hope was lost for him, we begin to contemplate, you know, gap year and things like that, and how much I will use him for me, ironing my shirts. And then he got an email that Columbia University in the U.S. has given him a place. And not just a place, but a scholarship. And I tell you, a good one. Light on my pockets. Praise God. Praise God. And now he's forgotten all the troubles of the past. When you put Ephraim ahead, you will forget the troubles of the past. If you put Manasseh ahead, you are forgetting your future. Christ did not wait for us to become righteous, the Bible says. According to human order is get righteous and then come to Christ, come to God. But Christ did not wait for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The right order. And quite often we got the wrong order. Think of this one. In Matthew chapter 6, 33, Jesus says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, we sang a song, goodness and mercy will follow. They follow us. They are not ahead of us. They follow us. If we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things will follow us. But what do? We seek first these things. And we sing a song, God goes before us. Now, if we go to these things, where is God behind us? Too bad. Too bad. Now, let me put this to you. Quite often, we go looking for a job and looking for a property to buy. When we get all of this, or maybe for parents, they move area to be within the catchment of the school they want to apply to. So we put all these things first, and then we look for a church. And I'm confident if you look first for God, you will find a job. You will find a school for your child. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The word will teach you the opposite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go a little deeper before I close. Paul set the right order in his life. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Following Paul's example, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. In other words, Paul is saying, come to the foot of the cross. Get past your past. Stop spending time in the negative, Joseph. The negative of your past. Don't put it in front. Leave it behind. Stop playing around like the old record, a scratched vinyl. Today, God wants to move you forward, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead for you. The message I bring today is God is starting an inner healing process in your life. Maybe you are coming from what has been labeled a dysfunctional family. Maybe you are coming from an abused previous relationship or first marriage going to the second. But the impact of the first is in your second, since you've never dealt with the things of the previous relationship. You are still suffering with the impact of the first marriage. That's why you need to bring Ephraim ahead of you and Manasseh behind, so that you will never be the same again. Maybe you were physically or sexually abused. You know this unspoken trouble, unspoken suffering. And I'm saying this with all humility and compassion. And you were left with an emotional scar, or you were mistreated and you moved not because you wanted to, but because you felt compelled to seek refuge, and you are still hurting up today and asking yourself, like many of the refugees of our time, why? Why me? I heard a testimony of a young boy in the troubled areas of the earth who lost most of his family. And his question is simply, why? Maybe it is your question, Lord, why this has happened to me? Hear Joseph telling you, it didn't happen to me, but I came up by his grace. God wants to deal with and to destroy that negative anger of your past so that you may move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come to the cross of Jesus. You've been made to feel like a nobody. Here is the good news. A nobody becomes somebody in the pierced hands of Jesus. Forgive those in your tumultuous past and receive your portion, like Joseph was given one portion above his brothers. The same Joseph, Genesis 48. Are you suffering with the burden, the junk of your past? Are you striving in your heart, brother, sister? Not passionate about the Lord? Not sure where you stand? No fire for God inside you? Or your fire gets quenched so easily? Do you feel stuck spiritually? You come to church and get pushed and go home, gets choked like an old car that gets pushed to start. Sunday may be good. Sunday may be good. But Monday to Saturday, a very different story at home. I heard stories of couples arguing on the way to church, but as soon as they get to the church, Sunday is good. But what about the weekly prayer meeting? Do you make it? And you need to be charged on Sunday again. Can't be consistently on fire for God. Dwell not on the past now. The Bible says, see, I am doing a new things now that will spring up. Forget the past. Move forward. God is still on the business of touching lives today. If you hear his voice, the Bible says, do not harden your heart. I believe God is about to do new things in your life, in my life, in our lives, in the life of the old church. Seize the opportunity and go forward. Praise God. Let's pray. If you would please repeat these words after me. God, you've spoken to me. I need you to touch me. I've been in the familiar position too long. Now, if you may, lift up your hand and say, God, here is my life. Touch me today, and then you can put it down. Thank you, Father, for those you have spoken to this day. For those delivered and willing to take a giant step into the unknown. One thing we know, the one who is leading us is faithful. And Father, we pray that you enable us to take a leap of faith in Christ Jesus. Stir up these gifts in your children, Father, I pray, that they may find their area of ministry, the area of service. Thank you, Father. Where we will find you in a new, fresh way. Lord, help us to trust you in our every step. When moved to unfamiliar position, into our Egypt, into the land of blessing, may you hear our voice say, glory be to God. Please, Father, help those struggling spiritually, those haunted by the past. Help them to get past the past, forgiving and moving forward to enjoy their reserved fruits of your blessing. Help those who struggle to take a decision for Jesus. Help us all to put Ephraim ahead of us and Manasseh behind. Lead us to the cross of Jesus. Amen.
We're going to worship Jesus, and as we do, I wonder if you'd stand with me. stand in God's presence. If God's spoken to you about something this morning and you would like Jules to pray, there's opportunity while we're worship to come down the front here and ask Jules to pray for you. There's no embarrassment. Just as we worship, please just slip to the front here. If you just feel it, really value some prayer this morning, and just come down here, will be fantastic. Let's worship Jesus. Fantastic. Brilliant. What if you grab a seat? Big welcome this morning. If you're visiting, if you're new, welcome to New Life. I hear that it's Victor's birthday. Victor, stand up for a moment, please. He's 20, so let's give him a big round. Happy birthday, sir. Happy birthday. We are not going to embarrass you by getting you up here, but just say happy birthday, sir. John's got a testimony. Let's give John a big round. John's got a testimony for us.
Good morning, church. Yes, I wanted to share something that was disturbing me over a couple of weeks ago. At my workplace, the NICE guideline changed towards the end of last year. And for anyone in my practice, we're required to have what they call BFI, which is a behavioral family intervention. And it's a kind of therapy that is guided by a body. So you need to write an exam. It was quite a complex exam. My consultant said she wrote it 3-4 times, and she didn't pass. So, but luckily, she passed sometime in December last year. And it was my first attempt. And we're supposed to get 100%. And I'm not sure how that was going to work out. So it was quite difficult. And after about two Sundays ago, I came to church and I spoke to Pastor Paul about it. I said, I need to pray about this, because if I don't pass this exam, I can't continue my practice. I will need to step down and rewrite it. And it was going to cost £7,000. Although the trust was paying for it, so that's not a problem. But we prayed here, and in the cell group, we prayed as well. And I told a couple of people in church that, please pray for me. I need to pass this exam one go. I read all through the night, and they were complex books and difficult books I haven't read all my life. And I was like, oh no, there's no way I'm going to be able to pass this exam. But God, please help me. I got there at 9 o'clock that morning, and you can see the pressure on everybody's face. We were like tens. So I passed.
Amen. Fantastic. Wow, amazing. What amazing. We had Elaine a couple of weeks ago, and God gave her the 8 questions that were going to come up. But fantastic. So if you're facing any exams, just go and John will pray for you if you've got any exams coming up. Fantastic. A couple of things I want to mention. Firstly, it's Nick and Joe's lovely son, James, getting married this week. And Michelle's got a card 2 weeks' time. Michelle's got a card here for anyone who wants to sign it. I'll put it over the information point. And if anyone wants to leave a little gift, that would be great too. Just a blessing for him. So I'll put it over on the information point. A couple of things also come up. Next Sunday, it's Food Bank Sunday. So please, if you have some food to bring along for Food Bank, it's on the website, it's on the Facebook site. If you want to know about what food to bring on Food Bank, we're praying on Tuesday. A couple of Saturdays time, on Saturday the 7th, in the morning, we're handing out leaflets. Pastor Jules, let's give Pastor Jules a big warm welcome show as well. Thank you. Pastor Jules from Chalk Farm Baptist Church, so he's going to be speaking today. He's and his team are going to be handing out leaflets at Kennystown Tube Station at 10 o'clock on the 7th, which is advertised in the Fleet Festival. And so if any of us want to join him, please, you can see him today or talk to me about that. And we're going to be handing out these leaflets advertising the Fleet Festival, which is going to coming up in just a few weeks' time. But before that, on that same day, on Saturday the 7th, the ladies have got a special time. Yeah, Lily, come on down. Let's give Lily a big warm round. We love Lily. Come on, Lily. Lily's been here in this church for a long time. In fact, you were that big when you came. And Lily, tell us about what's happening on 24 years. Goodness me. Wow. Lily, tell us what's happening on Saturday the 7th at 6 o'clock.
So what we're doing, ladies, is everyone is welcome. We're having a ladies' evening. I know it's very early in the year, but we desperately need this ladies' evening. We're meeting at Nando's in the Hollywood Bowl retail park at 6 o'clock, and we're bowling for 7 p.m. If you would like to just bowl, please see Mercy or Vicky to book in. We need to have bookings by next weekend, because obviously we need to book the lanes, and lanes get booked up pretty quick for Saturdays. If you would just like to come to eat, or would you like to come to eat and bowl, just eating-wise, can you come and see me as well? Because I need to make the reservation at the restaurant. So, yeah, come. We need lots of women to come.
Thanks, Lily. Thanks very much. Okay, Nick, just want to mention about ECOS.
Very quickly, thank you so much to the guys that came along last week to help with this. Tim and Angelina suggested that we had little business cards with the information on. So I'm going to put those at the back. So if any of you know people that would like help in practicing their English, then they're very welcome to come along. They need to either just ring me or sign up online or really just tell you. But I'm going to put them on the back. And if you're, as I'm saying this, thinking, I know somebody like that, then maybe take a few cards with you. Thank you.
Just very quickly, Carity Woods. The camp is really, really full now, partly because half of Jules' church is coming. There's so many coming from Chalk Farm. We've never had such a big Carity Woods. We've had to book a second coach now. So we're going to travel down in convoy on that Friday. So I'm not sort of advertising Carity Woods, but I am saying to people that haven't filled in the medical forms for the children and teenagers, we need you to fill them in. We need people to also finish paying the money. But just to quickly say about the sponsorship, we're going to leave some of these at the back. If you are thinking of sponsoring a child or teenagers or part of a place to come, it'll be great to know quite soon so that we can kind of allocate out the money, because we've got sort of unprecedented sort of demand in one way. Thank you to those who've already given, and we're going to kind of share it out and tell people who they're going to be sponsoring. So we'll leave these at the back and the Carity Woods forms at the back. Brilliant.
Thanks for being patient. Just finally, a few weekends' time, we've got the Fleet Festival. It's our fourth year of Fleet Festival. And so I'm just giving you some of the Fleet Festival leaflets. If you can take one and pass them on. Shall we? Fantastic. Take one, pass one on. The Fleet, can we have the thing up? The Fleet Festival, it's over a weekend. And we're working with Chalk Farm Church. We're working with St. Luke's in Osney Crescent. We're working with Revelation Church. Four churches working together really to advertise the goodness of God here in Kentish Town. And so it's a festival over the weekend. It's an arts festival. And it's the idea is to really, in loads of different ways, bring the good news of Jesus in practical ways to the people that live in Kentish Town. And so we start on the Saturday. And on the Saturday, there'll be all loads of events happening all over Kentish Town. And as a church, we're particularly focusing on events in Kentish Town Library. Kentish Town Library is next to the tube station, Kentish Town. Kentish Town Library is right by the tube station there in Kentish Town on the main road there. And we're particularly, can you have the next slide, please, Johnny? There's five things we're doing that day. We're doing kids' crafts. So we're going to be the children that come, families that come to the library. Last year, we had such an incredible time. As family after family came, the children enjoyed the crafts. And then there's going to be photo portraits. Bob and Vicky doing some photo portraits, free portraits for families, individuals that want their photograph taken, portrait their professional photos by Bob and Vicky. And then we got this opportunity to talk to people. I must say, last year, that I found it the best evangelistic opportunity of the whole year. Just stood in the library as people were waiting to have their photos taken, waiting, their children were having some craft. People saying, why are you doing this? Why are you as a group doing this? And it was an absolute gift of an opportunity to say, because God loves you and we really care and we're really here to advertise God's goodness. And people that we spoke to that day then came to church the next day, which was just incredible. The fact that they came along to this, we advertised the goodness of God, and then they came along to church the day after. Handing out leaflets along that Kentish Town Road outside the tube station. If you like handing out leaflets, opportunity to hand out leaflets. Handing out cakes. That's fantastic. Just out the library, advertising again to families that are passing by. So there's something here for everyone. Could I ask if you think, which of those five things would you feel you could do? Could you hand out cakes? Could you talk to people? Could you help Bob and Vicky with the photo portraits? Could you help with the kids' crafts? Back to the slide before, Johnny, just the one before. There's basically two time slots. There's 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock and 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So in that time, in those 4 hours, that's when we're going to be at the library in Kentish Town, taking over the library, doing these things. And so could I ask, could you think, what would you like to do? You're welcome to do more than one. And if you can only do 1 hour, that's fine. Monica is kindly taking names of people that can help with the kids' crafts. So if you think, oh, I could give an hour, give 2 hours to help with the kids' crafts, then please see Monica. Any other things, please see me. It's going to be a great time. We're so looking forward to it. Every church is doing their bit, putting on different workshops, putting on different things. This is our kind of responsibility for the day. So could you ever think about what you'd like to do on that day? Thanks for being so patient. Sorry they've been so long. Just to mention that before we have lunch together afterwards, people that are helping with ECOS, if you can grab a lunch straight away after we finish today so that you can get off to the ECOS, that would be fantastic. Okay, children, teenagers, now's the time to make a move.
Thank you, Lord, you're doing a good work in our heart this morning. Thank you that you sprinkle us with your blood and you wash us with your pure water so we can boldly come into your presence.